We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Blue Wire. With the seventh pick in the 2021 NFL Draft, the Detroit Lions select Penei Sewell, tackle, Oregon.
He's going to run it straight in. Jared Goff.
Carr gets down the Detroit Lions. TJ Hawkins, they did it. They tied it. They're an extra point away from winning this game. Oh, baby, how big is that?
What's going on, guys? Welcome back to a Wednesday night edition of Twitter Spaces Detroit Lions live show. I am your host, Tyler, joined by my two guys, as always, Pierre, Malcolm. How you boys doing on this beautiful Wednesday night? How you guys doing?
Man, I'm doing great. Excited to talk football with you guys. Malcolm, how's it going, bro?
Man, I'm doing great, man. How y'all boys doing today, man, on this Wednesday,
man? Good, man. It's, you know, middle of the week. We're getting close to the weekend, and we're almost there. I'm excited. Detroit Tigers baseball this Friday, opening day. I'm going to be there. First time ever for opening day.
I'm thinking of going, but it's raining, so we'll see.
Yeah, the weather doesn't look great. So hopefully not like today, though. Today was, weather-wise, was terrible. So hopefully we don't get that same weather on Friday. But with that being said, a quick house cleaning. We should have an episode released on your guys' feed sometime Friday. We have some more draft coverage. We had a guest join us, NFL scout from IG. So if you guys are interested in that, that should be on your guys' feed sometime this week, most likely on Friday. So stay tuned for that. It was a really good episode. So we got some more insight on the draft. And in this live show, we're just going to talk a little more about the draft, talk about some more options for the number two pick, because again, I mean, we're in April right now, and I don't think there's a consensus right now of what people think the Lions are going to do at pick two. There's so many different options, and it seems like every day we're hearing something different connected with the Lions and what they could potentially do with the second overall pick. So we're going to talk about someone new. We've talked about Malik Willis. We've talked about Kayvon Thibodeau. We've talked about Aiden Hutchinson. One player we have not spent too much time on, and I want to spend a little time on this episode, is edge rusher Trayvon Walker from the University of Georgia, because his name, really since the combine, since he had those killer combine numbers, has just really got his name thrown in as early I've seen as pick one, and then just getting his name commonly thrown in that top three, top five, and it's just some turn of events from what it was before the combine. So I want to talk about Trayvon Walker. He's an edge rusher, so he would fill in a need if the Lions went this direction. So, Pierre, I want to start off with you. What's your quick thoughts on a guy like Trayvon Walker? Because before the combine, it was pretty locked, I felt like, with Lions fans. If they wanted to go the edge rusher approach, it was like, we're going to get Kayvon Thibodeau, or we're going to get Aiden Hutchinson, and we're going to be completely fine. But now, as of late, we're hearing guys like Trayvon Walker, and we're hearing fans be okay with guys like Trayvon Walker. So I just want to hear your quick insight on a guy like Trayvon Walker.
Yeah, so regarding Trayvon Walker, I just want to, like, mention something. So you guys remember Ziggy Ansah?
Absolutely.
He only had 4.5 sacks at BYU, right?
Yeah.
And I want to get into the stats of Trayvon Walker, though. So Walker had 61 tackles, 13 tackles for a loss, 9.5 sacks, a pick, and 60 pressures in his 3 years playing at Georgia. He didn't start a game. But from 9.5 of those sacks, 7.5 sacks came this year, his junior year. He had 33 tackles, 2 pass defense, and 34 pressures. Now, the thing that's tricky with that is, you know, when you're playing with next to Jordan Davis and Devontae Wyatt and all those other guys at Georgia, they have some underclassmen that are some studs too. Is that him? Or is that, like, when you're playing on a stack line, you look really good? So that's why it's hard to evaluate him. I mean, he hasn't really started a game, right? That's another thing that's like, what's going on here?
And we're hearing as high as pick 2, and that's for a guy that hasn't really started much in his college career. That just seems kind of absurd, doesn't it?
Yeah. The way this draft class is, though, there isn't like a to me there is Thibodeau, but other people think like there isn't like a game changer, right? Like there isn't that kind of guy who could take over a game or take over a defense. So they think that Trayvon Walker is potentially worth the risk because he is an athletic freak, man. I believe he ran a 4.51, 6.5, 272, 35.5 vertical, 10.3 broad. I mean 6.8, 9.3 cone, 4.32 shuttle. This guy is an athletic freak.
If we're going as far as ceiling, I'm just going to ask a simple question because it looks like Hutchinson's, I'm not going to say guaranteed to be the number one pick because things could change, obviously, from now to the draft. But let's just assume right now that Aiden Hutchinson is going to be the number one pick to Jacksonville, and he's off the board for the Lions. Do you see a potential higher ceiling with a guy like Trayvon Walker compared to a Kayvon Thibodeau, or no?
They both have high ceilings. I feel like Walker has a higher ceiling, but he has a lower floor as well from a pass rushing standpoint. Walker is really good at setting the edge, but he needs to work on, like creating more moves with his pass rush, right? But the thing with Walker is he could play everywhere. He's 6'5", 270, play on the edge. He could play the interior. He could do anything you want him to do. He could stand up, it's really tricky with him, man.
Malcolm, I want to get you in this. What's your quick thoughts on a guy like Trayvon Walker?
I just think this whole thing is absurd. I think this whole thing is just crazy right now. I think everybody's just thinking just way too hard with this pick. And I'm seeing it. Like they're looking at Trayvon Walker and they're like, yeah, and I know you said that as high as 2. I've seen as high as one. Yeah. I heard that he could be in talk. I heard he could be in talk for Jackson. Where the hell is this coming from? This is crazy. Now, as far as Trayvon Walker, and I just want to make a quick correction for Pierre. He only has 6 sacks, not 7.5. He has 7.5 tackles for loss last year, but he only has 6. He has 6 sacks last year.
My bad. You're right.
Yeah. For the people who's like, you know, looking at his production, I'll say this. You know, that Georgia defense was insane. As far as talent-wise on that defense, probably the most talented defense I've seen in a very, very, very long time on a college team. The defensive line, the front 7 was just insane. The front 7 was insane for Georgia. And for me, it's a red flag to only post, you know, 6.5 sacks with that defensive line. I say this all the time. You put Kayvon Thibodeau in Georgia. What would Kayvon Thibodeau's numbers be if he was next to Jordan Davis and all the other guys in Georgia? What would his numbers be in Georgia if he was in Georgia? I think that dude would get like 20 sacks. He'll get at least 20 sacks because you can't double team everybody. I just think this is absurd as far as Trayvon Walker. I just think people are just thinking too hard, man. Like he's not. There's no way in hell you can say he's a better football player than Kayvon Thibodeau. There's no way in hell. I don't care what he did as far as athleticism. I don't care that. There's no way in hell you can say he's a better football player than Kayvon Thibodeau. That's just insane to me. So I'm hearing that, yeah, he could be at 2. So if they do pull the trigger and put Dre draft him, I mean, how I'm going to feel? I don't know how I'm going to feel about it. You know, at the end of the day, you know, you got to put trust into to Brad Holmes. You gotta put some trust into him. But if they draft Trayvon Walker over a Kayvon Thibodeau, I don't know, man. Because there's no way you can just look. You can say he's a better football player than him.
I'm with you here because, and I agree with your Brad Holmes take. It's like he hasn't done anything questionable yet for me to for me to question anything he would do yet. So if he did go the route of Trayvon Walker at pick two, would it be a head scratcher to me? Sure. But at the end of the day, I'm not the guy interviewing Trayvon Walker. I'm not the guy doing all the deep research on Trayvon Walker compared to what the Lions staff is doing. So if they took him, it would be a head scratcher to me, but I'm going to let it wait and see how it pans out, obviously.
But I got to be honest, guys. I don't think it'd be a head scratch to me, but I take Thibodeau over Walker.
But how would it not be? You like? I just don't see it. He's not a better football player than Kayvon Thibodeau.
You don't see it, but his only visits scheduled are with the teams picking the top six, and that's all he's visiting. So he thinks he's going to, like, the latest he'll go is sixth, the earliest he'll go is. That's what he thinks.
I mean, as far as you're looking at the top four edge rushers, he's a top four. So, of course, he's going to get those visits. But to say that he's a better football player than Kayvon Thibodeau or even Aiden Hutchinson, because, like I said, I've been hearing talk for him going at one. That's just insane. Like, and again, I say this. Put Aiden Hutchinson in Georgia, and his numbers will go skyrocket. You put Kayvon Thibodeau either or. Put either Aiden Hutchinson in that Georgia defense, his numbers skyrocket. Kayvon Thibodeau, you put him in Georgia, his numbers will skyrocket. He already, I think, was he like top three in pressures last year? With nobody on that line? In Oregon? Put him in Georgia. Jesus Christ. That's all I can say. Put him in Georgia? It's going to be, it'll be insane. It'll just be insane if he was on Georgia. So I just don't know. I think just his numbers and his production. I'm talking about Trayvon Walker, his production with that front seven. Only getting six sacks. I mean, I don't know. This is a red flag for me, man. I don't know.
I don't think he's a bad prospect. I think he's actually a very talented prospect. And I see the hype around him. I understand why people like him and why people would want to take a chance on a guy like this in the top five or top six or whatever. But when you're in this position with the Detroit Lions right now, you have two edge rusher prospects that, in my opinion, they're clearly better than Trayvon Walker as of right now, and you know more of what you're getting with these two guys. And the two guys I'm alluding to is obviously Aiden Hutchinson and Kayvon Thibodeau. You got to go a route, in my opinion, where we know what we're getting and we're still getting a high ceiling guy. Trayvon Walker might have the highest ceiling. I don't think that's even the case, but I could see your argument why you'd say that. Maybe he has the highest ceiling as far as athleticism because what you saw at the combine, you saw his pro day numbers. Okay, I could understand that. But when you have two guys, in my opinion at least, who look like to be guaranteed really good NFL players and have still really, really good ceilings, and Aiden Hutchinson and Kayvon Thibodeau, why don't you go with that route? A guy who produced in college yet still has a very high ceiling compared to a guy who, yes, has a high ceiling because of athleticism numbers, but did not produce when called upon. I mean, at the end of the day, what are we factoring more? What is more important, the college, what they did on the college fields, or what they did in the combine in their underwear? It's what they did on the field. And clearly, Kayvon Thibodeau and Aiden Hutchinson, they did better on the field with less than Trayvon Walker. Like, that's how I approach this. And I think it's a clear-cut answer why you go with a Thibodeau or Hutchinson before a Walker.
Yeah, I think Trayvon Walker, if he went to a different school, I'll look at this whole situation different. Like, if he was in BYU, like I know you brought up Ziggy Ansah. Ziggy Ansah went to BYU. He was on the line by himself. If Trayvon Walker was a situation like that, I'd be like, let's give him a shot.
Yeah.
Maybe he has some hidden potential in him. Who knows? But he was in Georgia, and he was in Georgia and didn't produce, man. I don't know. Yeah, don't know.
People try to make the excuse, not the excuse, but like they try to make the argument against Aiden Hutchinson. Like, oh, he had David Ojabo with him. Okay, guys, if we're going to go that far, how are we not mentioning what Trayvon Walker had alongside with him? If we're going to go with Michigan having David Ojabo, who, yes, is a very talented player and was definitely a help to that Michigan line and, yes, definitely helped Aiden Hutchinson be a better player. But if we're going to go there, you have to use that same argument, and it's even stronger with a guy like Trayvon Walker being, like you said, one of the strongest defenses we've seen in college football in a while.
Craig is usually a fan of water cooler talk, but it's draft season, and that's all anyone wants to talk about. The Athletic has loads of articles about this year's draft, but Greg doesn't have The Athletic. so now he's filling up his water bottle in the bathroom sink, which, to remind you, is the sink people use after they use the bathroom. Get The Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences, so the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
So I don't like that excuse. Well, 100% David Ojabo. Trayvon Walker had a damn near NFL defense. He had a damn near NFL defense. Four of those guys are going to be picked in the top 50.
Yeah.
Yeah, and they have 100%. Some future first-round picks that are, like, underclassmen, too.
Exactly. So I don't see it. I think you guys are kind of on the same boat as me. Let's get some people's perspective. I want to hear people's opinions on Trayvon Walker, maybe people that like him, people that agree with us. Let's do it. Yeah. So,
I actually, you know what? I'm actually hoping Jacksonville screws us up and just overthinks this whole situation and drafts him.
I do too, because that gives you a clear cut way to get a guy like Aiden Hutchinson or Kayvon Thibodeau, whoever this staff obviously prefers. And in my opinion, I don't care. I like both guys a lot. I would not be disappointed with either guy. I have had the same approach since the season ended till now. Get one of these guys. It's as simple as get one of Kayvon Thibodeau or get one of Aiden Hutchinson, and I'm going to be satisfied. I don't know why we're throwing these other names in there. You guys were not mentioning Trayvon Walker during the college football season. You guys didn't mention him during the national championship. You guys mentioned him after you saw the combine. Be honest. You guys mentioned him after the combine.
That's where his stock rose, after the combine. And it was like, wow, maybe he could go at two in Detroit. And it's funny because, like, if you look at, like, the draft network, they have Trayvon Walker ranked ahead of Kayvon Thibodeau.
And I would have loved to see those rankings before the combine. I would have loved to see those because I don't have those numbers on top of my head.
I don't know. I think he was probably the fifth rated edge before the combine.
I bet George Karlaftis was ranked higher than him. I really do. I wouldn't be shocked. Wouldn't be shocked.
You know, Jermaine Johnson was ranked ahead of him.
I could see that too. Yeah. All right. Let's get some people's perspective on this. Avery's been waiting for a while. Let's get Avery in here.
DJ also has Trayvon Walker at 6.
All week we've been introducing you to.
Hey, what's going on?
And he has.
Hey, man, what's going on, Avery? How you doing, bro?
Yeah, what's going on, Avery Giovanni?
What's up, buddy?
Detroit Pistons. Yeah. You know what's funny is this whole conversation. I've agreed with y'all. Normally, I'm a contrarian to legacy Detroit media, but y'all have made a lot of sense. Trayvon Walker is a joke. That's a joke. And that's an overreach by other people. And when I started seeing mocks with Trayvon Walker, when I started seeing people just out of nowhere saying Trayvon Walker was the man, it made no sense to me. The run stopper, the fact that he could play a 3-5 technique, that's cool and all. I don't need another Michael Brockers on the line. I don't need another Michael Brockers on the line. Y'all said something real funny, though. Y'all said, is he better than Thibodeau? No. Is he better than... you know, Hutchinson? No. Well, check this out. I got something for you. Is he better than Cam Thomas of San Diego State? Hell no. Is he better than Zach Pascal? Hell no. It's just impossible. So Josh Pascal of Kentucky. Josh Pascal of Kentucky met with the Lions during the combine. The dude has similar stats to this dude, and Josh Pascal is ranked as a second or third round pick at the highest, like a third round pick. Like this, like I haven't even seen his pro day numbers at Kentucky, but I'm just saying, like, he's not even better than someone that's a third rounder in the SEC that has similar situations that he had.
Avery, you know what it is, dude. I'm all down for the combine. I love looking at the numbers. I want to see these guys' numbers, obviously. But people get way too carried away with these combine numbers. Like, they see the athleticism, they're like, oh my God, we have to get this guy. But, like, that can be your first priority when you're drafting a player. Like, that's got to come second. There's more bigger priorities when you're evaluating guys, in my opinion, than what the guy did at the combine, what the guy did at his pro day. At the end of the day, the most priority, the thing you should put on the top of your list when you're watching these guys is, what do they do on the college football field? That's what's most important to me than what the guy did in his underwear.
Well, you know, I mean, it's just simple as turning on the caddies or turning on the tape and looking at it. And then that's really cute and all. But at the same time, the combine is a component. And is it overplayed? Is it overused? Yeah. In the case of Tavon Austin or somebody like that, yes, it is overused and overutilized. And you're right. You got to turn on the tape. Unfortunately, these guys, you know, have similar production. And that's where people start acting crazy. You know, when you have production like a Thibodeau and you have the combine numbers, that's when people start having this, like, I don't want to say, like, these rose-colored glasses, you know? And, you know, like your boy said, like your man said, he said, what if Thibodeau went to Georgia? You know, all we can do is say of what if, but if Thibodeau went to Georgia, had 10 sacks, they're not the same. 11 sacks, they're not the same. So, you know, I think sometimes the combine and the RAS score is overplayed, even though I'm a person who loves analytics myself. But I'm not stupid, but check this out. It's common sense. If the Lions don't take Trevon Walker at 2, where does he fall? He probably falls out the top 10. He probably selected like 15 or 16 or goes to Dallas at 23. There is no reason. Like, other teams are going to look at him like, nah, we good. And they're going to move forward.
I disagree with that.
I don't know about that. I think so. I don't know if it's going to be the Lions in particular, but one of these teams I think will – in the top heavy of the draft, I think are going to...
Yeah, like top 10 at least. If not top 6, top 10.
Damn.
Yeah, I think somebody's going to be a sucker and grab him. Just looking at his number, just going to grab him.
But guys, like, when we talk about his ceiling, though, like, if this guy turns into a star, then a couple years you're like, oh, why did we pass on him? Like, right?
No, like, I know exactly why we pass on him. I know exactly why we pass on him.
No.
I know exactly why we pass on him.
But to say that Cam Thomas and whatever John Pascal is better, that's simply not true right now. That's not true.
Really?
Yeah, really.
Are you sure? Cam Thomas.
No, Cam Thomas is not even mentioned in the top 10 right now. Trayvon Walker is like top 10. No.
Oh, wow. Okay. All right. So when we go 4 years in the future and we look at numbers and all this other stuff, we're going to say, oh, why was Cam Thomas like, oh, my God, he's amazing. Like, Cam Thomas is probably going to be linked to the Chargers, a good team, good franchise. He's probably going to go somewhere where he can stand up, sit down. He played all four levels of the defensive line. If Cam Thomas went to Alabama, a lot of this is school chasing. A lot of it is what it is, school chasing. If I went to Alabama and had 8 sacks, I'm a first-round pick. But if I went to San Diego State and had 16 sacks, I'm a third round pick.
I gotta be honest, bro. That's not true. Khalil Mack played at Buffalo and he was like a top 5 pick.
Khalil Mack had his best game against Ohio State on national TV and knocked the fucking quarterback out. What are you talking about, bro? Like, you can say these like straw man arguments, but every time you talk, it's like something that doesn't follow something else. Like, Khalil Mack showed up against national teams when they wasn't even supposed to.
Yeah, but I don't agree with how you said, like, just because he's a small – or, like, he went to a smaller school, that's why he's predicted to go where he's predicted to go. I don't buy that.
Well, I agree to disagree. I love y'all. Y'all always talk the truth sometimes.
Appreciate it, Avery. Keep
things up.
Appreciate it, bro. Have a good one. All right, Tyler, let's bring up Josh Allen.
Okay.
Josh, you getting that – how's your contract treating you with the Bills, Josh?
Josh, what's up, baby? He's connecting. Wait. I don't know if it's going to work. Okay. Give it like another second.
Yeah.
Josh, try joining back. I'm going to remove you. Try joining back, Josh. I had someone else request. I don't know where it went away. Whoever just requested, request again. I don't know who it was. Sorry.
All right, let's try.
Oh, there we go. We got someone.
Yo, what up? What up, boys?
What's up, man? How you doing?
How's it going?
Good. I just joined. I missed most of the Trayvon talk.
What's your thoughts on him? You don't have any of our opinions polarizing you right now. What's your thoughts on Trayvon?
The nigga only has a bull rush. Not one single pass rush move. He's a combine warrior. Seems like more of a recent Ansa was. Yeah, I don't like him at all. This guy been playing football since he was in high school. Still doesn't have any pass rush moves. Ansa came. Nigga seen a football first time when he was like 20 years old. Pretty much looked just as good as him.
You're pretty much accurate with us right now. I will say this. I think we're undervaluing Trayvon Walker now. I think we're hating too much now. Like, there is a point where I don't want him at two, and then there's a point where I still like this guy.
When can we get on that Malik Willis at two, though?
What about Malik Willis at two?
I think that's where the conversation really needs to be going.
We had that. We had that a couple weeks ago.
I think that's a legitimate conversation. I think that's a more legitimate conversation here than Trayvon Walker. Because at least with Malik Willis,
what does Trayvon do for the franchise? Like, if we really want to be a good franchise, a great franchise, we need a great QB. I'm sure you guys all agree Jared Goff is not the guy. I'm sure we all agree the head coaches and all the dogs in that coaching room don't think that Jared Goff is the guy. So, like, what's the risk? We just go, like, take a flyer on Malik. If he doesn't work out in a couple of years, do something new. Rather than just sitting there playing with Goff, letting him do whatever for a couple of years, and then maybe we take a shot on someone next year. But either way, it's a shot. A QB is always going to be a shot.
Yeah, I get you. We talked about Malik Willis already, though.
Yeah, okay. You just got to find a way. If you love Malik Willis, then yeah, absolutely take him at two. But if you don't love him, you don't just take the flyer just to take a flyer on a guy. I mean, especially that early in the draft, like you have to.
Well, it's not just to take a flyer. The guy has all the tools to be elite QB.
Yeah, but he has all the tools to be
an absolute disaster as well.
Okay, so does a QB's a gamble. No matter if he has none of the tools to be a bust, it's always going to be a gamble. You might as well take a gamble on the guy that has one of the highest ceilings we've seen in a while. He has Josh Allen.
We've seen in a while.
He has Josh Allen.
I don't see the Josh Allen ceiling.
Alright. So what QB next year do you see that has a
we have to wait. We have to wait, but
I mean there's some guys I like next year.
You think go for it on 4th and 10, Dan Campbell, and blow out fucking Martha Hamp's eardrums in the draft room, Brad Holmes are gonna sit there and wait till next year and hope we do shitty enough to get another low pick so we can go get one of those good QBs?
Well, that's not necessarily have to be the case.
They're too aggressive for that.
You could explore the veteran market next year. If there's a rookie that you like a lot, you could just go up and trade for that guy.
Veteran market. Go up and trade for a guy and hope another team that doesn't already need a QB. Like that, these are hopes and dreams. I'm telling you, these are real gambles.
It's okay, but we can't be looking too far like
doubling,
down the line.
That's doubling the gamble. You're already taking a gamble on QB. Now you're gambling to just gamble that you might get that QB.
I get you, man, but this is not the episode we're talking about Malik Willis. We had an episode a few days ago, man. So if you have anything about Trayvon Walker, man,
I'm good. If anyone else got Trayvon talk, they can get it.
All right, man. Thanks for joining, man.
No problem.
All right. Let's get Lions fan report. What's up, man? Lions fan report.
Lions fan report, man. What's up?
Is this guy taking a piss?
I don't know, man. He's in the bathroom.
Something's washing his hands.
Hey, hey, man, what's about that?
Where were you?
Can you explain that? You washing? They got you washing the dishes. Yeah.
But hey, I'm done, so I'm ready to talk football.
Let's go, man.
What's up, brother?
So I kind of hopped in late, but it sounded like conversation was centered around Trayvon Walker.
Yep.
What's your thoughts on Trayvon Walker?
Yeah, so if I'm being perfectly honest, if the Lions were to draft Walker, I wouldn't necessarily be upset. I think he's an okay pick, but the biggest thing for me, and when you look at kind of what Brad Holmes has said in the past, he likes to evaluate what he saw on tape with combine numbers, right? And when you look at Trayvon Walker, especially on tape, I would say that, like, yeah, he's got all the athletic ability, ran a fast 40 time, but when you actually look at the tape, I wouldn't say you necessarily see that burst on film, right? So yeah, he did great at the combine, but like when it comes to the actual film itself, I wouldn't say that it necessarily translates as well as it does with like a Hutchinson or a Thibodeau.
Yeah. Combine warrior. That's what we called him. We called him the combine warrior.
And I think,
yeah, I mean, that's exactly.
And I think too, it's like one of his biggest strengths obviously is that versatility, right? Like you can line him up on the edge, you can line him up at the three technique, whatever it may be. Right. So my question then is like, especially as a young player, like Isaiah Simmons, for example, like I was reading some article, like when you have a young player like that, you got to have like a predefined position that you want him to come in and play at and develop him at. So if we draft Trayvon Walker, are we playing him at the three technique? Are we playing him at edge? Where do you see us kind of developing him moving forward?
I would assume it'd be the edge if they were to take a shot on him. It better be the edge. I would assume the edge, but I don't know, man.
You literally have two of the best edge rushers in the draft available at number two, and
there you go.
Kayvon Thibodeau and Aiden Hutchinson. Like, why would you spend a number two overall pick developing a guy who's way further behind in his development when you have two of the best edge rushers in the draft available at two? Like, it literally makes no sense to pass on two guys who are way further in their development to take on a player who's going to take probably even longer to reach his ceiling when you literally already have Thibodeau and Hutchinson in your lap. Like, it makes no sense why you would take Walker over two of the other elite edge rushers when they're way further in the development. They have like that elite first step that Walker doesn't have, which in my opinion is something you can't coach. Like, if a player has that fast first step off the line of scrimmage, that's like instinct. That's something that, like, yeah, you can work on it in practice. There's certain drills to work on it. But like, if a guy can, you know, time a snap and come off the edge real quick, like that's just something that you either have or you don't have. And in my opinion, like when you look at all our current edge rushers, like what is like the one thing we're lacking? I think it's speed. Like Romeo Okwara, he's more of like a strength edge rusher kind of guy. I wouldn't say Charles Harris. He's got a decent first step, but like, you just imagine having Hutchinson or Thibodeau. Like, it's just a completely different kind of player. It brings like a completely different element to this defense. And for me, I think Walker's too much of a project, and it just makes no sense, in my opinion, that you'd pass up on two of the best edge rushers in the draft to take a developmental player at two. Like, in my opinion, if you're drafting a player number two overall, he's got to come in day one and be an impact starter. There's no reason why you draft a developmental edge rusher at two when, again, you have two other guys who are a lot further along in their development. So I wouldn't be upset if we drafted Walker. I just think that, like, there's no reason to pass up on Thibodeau. And in my opinion, too, if they do pass on a guy like Thibodeau, I think at the end of the day, it's all speculation right now, right? Like, none of us as, like, Lions fans have any idea as to whether or not they actually – those off-the-field concerns are a legitimate issue. So I think come draft night, if we do pass on a guy like Thibodeau, it's probably because those concerns are legitimate. But as of right now, I think that's just like a false narrative that these media members are pushing in order to create headlines, because at the end of the day, the NFL is a business. They need clicks. They need people talking about the draft. And at the end of the day, I think Thibodeau is the best player, and there's no reason why you don't draft a player like that if he's available at two.
Yeah.
Man, say it louder for the people in the back.
You see, like, damn.
With Thibodeau, right? I feel like it's a team that's doing stuff.
A lot of people are like, especially for those individuals talking about like Hamilton or Willis at number two, like, in my opinion, there is a drop off in talent and in development when it comes to a player available at two versus a player at 32, right? So why not get the guy that's further along in the development, that has tape, that has shown he can be an impact player day one, versus waiting till day two to draft an edge rusher who could have higher bust potential. You got to teach him a lot more. He's a lot further behind in his development. Like, get that immediate day one edge rusher. Like, come on, guys. When was the last time we've had a legitimate edge game-changing edge rusher? Like, it's been so long. Bob Quinn continuously did not address the position in the draft. Yeah, he signed Trey Flowers, but let's be real. Trey Flowers, more of a run edge defender, a guy who never had 10-plus sacks in a season. So it's like you're literally in prime position to get the best edge rusher in the draft. Let's stop avoiding continuously not addressing this position. Get our edge rusher. Build a great defense. We got one of the best defensive minds in football in Eric Glenn. End of conversation. It's Thibodeau at two for me.
Yeah, I mean, again, if there wasn't like another edge rusher, maybe I see the intrigue with Trayvon Walker. Just assuming, let's say you take out one of Hutchinson or Thibodeau and one of those guys went number one, and then you're left with everything else outside of those guys. So if that makes sense, like there's no Hutchinson or no Thibodeau, whoever's picked at number one, and then that's it. Then maybe I understand the intrigue, because then maybe you could push up Trayvon Walker as the most intriguing edge rusher prospect, and that's a guy you want to take a shot on. But when you have another edge rusher, you have two edge rusher prospects, and you're sitting at pick two that are already guys that are going to start for you day one. They're more polished than Trayvon Walker. It's just a no-brainer to me why you go that route and you take either or whoever's available for you at two, and you have that luxury of having pick number two and not being at pick three or pick four where those guys could be gone. You know 100% that you're going to get your hands on at least one of them once you come to pick. So for me, it's a no-brainer just because they're the same position.
Man, for me, even if Thibodeau and Aiden Hutchinson was not in this draft class, it's just too many red flags for me, man. Still, the red flags are there. He was on Georgia's front seven and did not produce. Did not produce. Well, like if he was in North Dakota State or something and did this, and then now we're looking at his tape and we're like, all right, maybe. You know, he's playing on North Dakota State that has nobody.
Okay, but maybe. To say he didn't produce is simply not true. He had 34 pressures and 6 sacks this year, right?
I know, but look who he's playing with.
A quarterback stepping up in his lap, though, too.
Look who he's...
I'm not really high on Trayvon Walker. I think he'll get drafted in the top 10, but there are a lot of questions and concerns for a guy who, you know, played over 400 snaps but didn't really rush the pass, get to the passer as much as he could. He's also got some different aspects of his game that are difficult to translate to. You know, he doesn't win on tape as much as he should for a guy who's talking about going top 5, top 10. He tested great, you know. That's all there. And there's flashes of him being explosive off the ball, but he doesn't have a go-to move. He doesn't have any counter moves. He struggles to bend at the top of the arc. He's just, you know, he looks stiff sometimes with his athleticism. My coworker, John Ledyard, who's of the Draft Network, now he's with Peter Report, has him as an early third round grade as a player. Obviously, he's not going to go in the third round. We know that. And has him as the seventh best pass rusher on the board as of now. But he is a project. And I think someone said Ziggy Ansah earlier when I was listening. And I think that's a fair comparison. You know, Ziggy Ansah was a good player. Never really reached his full potential. And that's a question marks you have with a guy like Trayvon Walker. His ceiling, I think, in the league is probably somewhere around as Za'Darius Smith, Jadeveon Clowney. And is that worth a second overall pick? I don't think so. I think the character concerns with Tibbs are real, though. I don't think it's just made-up media propaganda. I think there are some questions about him. And anyways, this is all a moot point because you guys have taken Malik Willis at number two anyway. So
no. and if this was a rub, this is the man, Josh Allen, from the OG Spotify green room. So he didn't even get to introduce himself because he didn't connect the first time. So this is Josh Allen, guys. If you guys are really listening, you can't see it.
Yeah, so it's going to be interesting, you know, because they do have, you know, a plethora of picks. You know, they've got the pick at the end of the first. They got the pick in the second as well. So, you know, they have opportunities to add talent and add edge rushers. A guy like real Bucks talk over there's going to be mad at me saying, but a guy like Boye Mafe, Carl Aftis could be a guy who could slip there. He's kind of falling a little bit in some of these mocks and projections as well. So, you know, I think there is a chance to get a pass rusher. Now, just the way I look at it is these quarterbacks, they're not great, right? We know they're not great. We know there are a lot of projections.
Right.
But it happens every single year. These GMs and these coaches think, yeah, well, you know, I can get the best out of this guy. You know, it's like they watch the highlight reels. And I was like, oh, yeah, I can get this production out of this guy on a down-to-down basis consistently because I'm that good of a head coach. I could potentially see three quarterbacks going in the top 10 right now. You know, Desmond Ridder and Kenny Pickett, they're taking the tours right now with teams like Atlanta and Carolina and Seattle. And, you know, if you want to get – if Detroit wants to get a quarterback in this draft, you can't wait till 32 because you're end up with a Sam Howell or a Matt Corral. And what are those guys going to do for you? They're going to be a backup to Jared Goff. So I think if they're going to attack the position and have a guy, you know, ease into the role, you know, kind of – I'm not comparing this anyway, but, you know, like a Pat Mahomes did behind an Alex Smith. Alex Smith was never a great quarterback. Jared Goff is not a great quarterback. But he sat behind an established quarterback and learned the system. And then, you know, maybe it's a half a season, maybe it's a full season, maybe it's the 17th game Malik Willis comes in, or whatever the case may be. I think that is a route that they're seriously going to look at. And I know you guys said you talked about it. Spoiler alert, I have a mock coming out this weekend, and I've got you guys taking Malik Willis at number two because I just think, you know, Detroit, they should, yes, they have an extra first-round pick next year. Shouldn't be that high. And also, they're going to, you know, probably have, no offense, a low first-round pick again. But do you wait to grab a quarterback, play that game next year? What if they get 5 wins? You know, the NFC North right now, like, depends on what Green Bay does. They just got rid of Devontae Adams. Sure, they'll draft a wide receiver. How quickly can they get on board? And, you know, does that – they lost a bunch of pieces on defense. They lost an offensive lineman. So it's like, you know, is Green Bay going to be that juggernaut? Are they going to struggle to win the division? So, I mean, there could be more wins for the Lions this upcoming season than there were last season. It's going to be interesting. But, you know, that's my thoughts on Walker. That's my thoughts on what y'all could potentially be looking at, potentially be doing in that first and end of the first and second round pick. There's – some talent. The meat on the bones in this draft is the second, third round, right?
And
you know, I think that if you grab the quarterback at two, you got him with a fifth-year option, which is always a plus. We know how important that is. And then you can also address – you can get a really good guy in that, you know, with that pick 32. That's going to help you off the edge. This is a pretty decent class at edge rushers. And with 32 and what have you got, 32 and 34?
Right? 34,
yep. You can grab an edge rusher there and another impact player there as well. Just my thoughts on it.
Josh, I have a question for you. So are you excited to have Stephon Diggs back? I believe he signed for like another 4 years.
Stephon Diggs?
Yeah.
Isn't he a Bucks guy?
Stephon Diggs?
Yeah.
Stephon Diggs is on the Bills.
He's on the Bills, bro.
Pierre, what are you talking about? Josh got covers
Godwin
the Bucks.
Back for 3 years.
You guys don't get the joke. I'm done.
I don't get the joke.
So
what is this joke?
He's calling Josh Allen. Josh Allen.
Oh yeah. Okay. Bills. Yeah. Okay.
So he's so saying, how does it feel to get?
No. As a Pats fan, I
God
hate
damn.
It. As a Pats fan, I absolutely.
I was
hate that.
Lost as hell. I'm like, where are we going here? I'm like, Josh covers the Bucks. We're talking about Stephon Diggs with
oh,
the Bills.
Oh man.
I'm like, are you throwing like a dig at me because I root for the Pats? You know, as a. You know, I'm like,
I need
bro.
The past,
yeah,
bro.
I got it. I was just on mute, but I got it.
I get it now. Yeah, now you get it. Now that you're not on mute, okay.
Yeah. I got it. These two, they didn't get it. That it's okay though. That's all right though.
All right. I didn't get it. You're right.
No, you're all fine, right, man. Hey, Josh, man. You have anything else, man?
No, I'm just ready and waiting, man. I've got my mock coming out. We've done our own personal mocks. We're doing a roundtable mock here now. You know, my first ever like published mock is going to be out. So look, stay tuned for that. That's going to be fun. Hey, I've got some interesting picks.
Like we're going to look out for that, man. Yeah, I mean, you already gave us a sneak peek. You have us picking Malik Willis at 2. I want to hear, I mean, you already gave your thoughts on that. So
Yeah. I'm just going to put that into words. But no, man, I can't wait for this draft. This offseason is one of my favorite times of the year. Obviously, I love watching the games, but offseason, free agency draft, I live for this shit. And, you know, the Beast is coming out tomorrow. Dane Brugler is the Beast on The Athletic, so I'm super stoked to dive into that monstrosity of a draft guide. So,
Definitely the season to get The Athletic pass, even though I have no affiliation with them. And that was
I don't either.
Yeah, no affiliation with them, but that's a shameless plug. I have no affiliation.
I'm just excited. It's only $1 right now, so.
Yeah, I already have my subscription. I already have my subscription locked up.
Yeah, so other than that, just good talking to you guys.
Thanks, Josh.
Appreciate it, Josh.
Spotify Green Room sucks, and I'll talk to you all soon.
Yeah, you're not lying there. Not lying.
Take care, Josh.
Thanks, Josh.
Hey, Josh, man. Thanks for joining us, man.
For sure.
That's interesting, man. Okay, so it seems like everybody, as far as so far we've talked to, they're not on this Trayvon Walker hype train. I thought we'd get at least one guy. I thought there'd be one person in here and be like, oh, they're gonna tell us all this Trayvon Walker combine numbers and he was gonna blow us away. But I haven't heard it yet, so I'm proud of you guys. Actually, really, I'm proud of you guys. So let's get into our next guest, and this is actually someone very close to me. It's my first cousin. So.
Wait, your cousin's joining? Okay.
Yo, what up? So I got him in.
What's up, Nick?
What up, yo? Yep, that's what his cousin. Up, yep, that Nick. Is definitely Nick. That is definitely Tyler's cousin. 100%.
Nick has met Pierre. He met him at a Tiger
game. Yeah, no, I went to a Tigers game with Pierre, and then Malcolm, I played fantasy football with you 2 years ago.
Yes. He won the league. This is who won the league.
He's a winner. Yeah, he's a winner. And he's excited, too. This man came with a lot of energy. Was it Red Bull?
I love it.
Red Bull?
Let me tell you. Monster? Let me tell you boys about Trayvon Walker now. That boy is ass. He is pure ass cheek. We're going to draft the guy who can only record 6 sacks with Jordan Davis and 4 other fucking first-round picks? Are you shitting me right now? Why are we even entertaining this conversation? That's my question. I'm really confused.
It was Tyler's idea. It was Tyler. 100%, this was Tyler's idea.
I mean, this is terrible.
This is going to
that. You got Hutchinson, Thibodeau. But you're going to get one of the 2 at number 2. I don't understand why we're even talking about some bum that can only get 6 sacks with the Georgia defensive line. I could have got 4 sacks with the Georgia defensive line. I mean, what are we talking about here? I don't understand the conversation. This is terrible. This really is terrible. The real question is, we got to grab that boy Nakobe Dean at 32. That's how we win this draft.
I like where your heart is, man.
He's
I like
about other Georgia players.
Yes,
right
sir. Yes, Georgia sir. Players. That boy, Nakobe Dean, he's a seeker. That's the guy we need at 32.
Yeah, I like where his heart is, man. Yeah, I like the. I would love it if we could grab Nakobe Dean.
I'm telling you, man. He's
that somewhere 32, 34, either or.
Bro, I don't care. I'm down with that. That guy's a seeker. The fact of the matter is, the Trayvon Walker. I mean. Here's the deal. This is definitely over exaggerating it. How different is he from current defensive Detroit Lions defensive end Austin Bryant? Both came from stacked defensive lines. Didn't record that many sacks. What's the difference? I don't know.
Athleticism. They're looking at his numbers and they're like, oh wow, he could be a dominant player if he gets in the right system and the right coaching staff. They could mold him into this dominant, you know, edge rusher. That's what they're looking at.
Malcolm,
that's where all this hype is coming from.
We don't dread because of the combine, bro. They got the same numbers in college. That's all I'm saying. Who cares about the hype? Give me the product.
I feel the same way. I'm just hoping Jacksonville feels opposite. I hope Jacksonville goes with Trayvon Walker and just looks at his numbers and like, let's go for it.
Wait, he has Trayvon Walker has buzzed at number 1 to Jacksonville? Are you guys serious?
I've heard, yeah. Some probably not gonna happen.
No,
some scouts have him as the number 2 edge rusher on his board, on their board.
Well, do you guys think Jags go with Hutchinson or you think they'll go offensive line?
I think it's Hutch, man.
Yeah, I think it's Hutch too, Pierre. I agree with you. I just think they Hutch, they tagged that dude, their tackle, and then they signed Brandon Sheriff. It's the only guy left. I mean, what the fuck else are they going to do?
And they need edge rushers right now. I mean, yeah, they got facts. Josh Allen.
They got Josh Allen. That's it.
And that's really about it. Yeah, they don't really have much after they that. I mean, they tag. Signed and they signed Arden Key this offseason, but like Arden Key's not going to be a moving factor to alter your opinion at pick one.
Yeah, that's a rotational piece, brother. It's nothing.
He's more of an interior guy, too, now.
Yeah.
He plays more.
The only case you can make for him is if like Trevor Lawrence is their guy, you're going to say, bro, we got to protect that dude so he doesn't get fucked up. But even so, I'd rather have a defensive end like a Aiden Hutchinson opposed to like you already signed your left tackle. This guy's going to be playing backside. He's going to be playing front side tackle. It's not even a prime position. So, I mean, I think we go Thibodeau at two. I think that's just the only position we go.
Thibodeau at two it is.
Yeah.
There we go.
Simple as that. All right. Good talking
to you. Well, Nick, thank you for joining.
No problem. Nick, man.
I'm not Nick.
I'll talk to you guys.
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir. Yes.
Well, you guys know where I get it from now, even though I'm older. But the enthusiasm and the excitement, there you go. That's man, a first cousin
came,
right there.
He came in some with two Red Bulls. He said he was ready. He said he's ready for this conversation.
That's just Dink, man. That's how he comes in every time.
He came in with that Dan Campbell coffee order.
Yeah. How did Dan Campbell do it? Oh man!
Oh, all right. Anyone else want to request to join?
I see Jay's in here now. What's up, Jay?
What's happening, Jay? How you doing, bro?
Mark or Maurice? What's up, man?
Mo's here. You got Tink.
Mo, my dog. Oh. My dog Tink.
Oh, Tink is here too.
Yeah, Tink's in here, yo.
Tink, what's up, brother? Okay, if you guys don't got anything else, I can end it here. I can go enjoy my night if you guys don't talk anymore. Okay, I think that's it. All right. Well, thank you guys. I honestly expected a little different reaction. I didn't expect everyone to agree. I really didn't. It makes it kind of boring when we all agree, and I kind of like to have the altering of opinions, but we didn't get that today, and it is what it is. Like we can't always have disagreements everywhere, and if this is something we all agree on, okay, I'm okay with this. We're all unanimous. In this chat room, no one is here to argue for Trayvon Walker in a positive way. So I'm taking it, everyone in this chat room, if the Lions take Trayvon Walker pick two, we're going to be furious. We're going to be all furious together.
I don't know if they're going to be furious, man. Some people might just be like, whatever.
That's like, all I'm there. I bro, honestly, that's
he's
all
not
I'm
my first feel. Choice, but if they took him, like, I'd be fine with it. They obviously see something in him, and they think they could coach it out of him, right? That's how I feel. Like, if they took him over Thibodeau or over Willis or whoever else, they clearly think he's a better player.
Yeah. I mean, like I said it earlier in the show, Brad Holmes has given us zero excuses to really question any picks that he makes right now. So if they did go that direction, maybe I'm not the happiest guy initially, and I probably won't be the happiest guy until I actually see what he could do on the football field for the team. Like, that's just honestly how it's probably going to go, but yeah, Pierre brings a good point. Like, I'm not going to shit on the pick if it ends up being Trayvon Walker, but I'm not going to be the guy that's selling you and being super optimistic. I'm not going to do it if they go that route. I'm just going to be straight up honest with you right now. So we'll see what happens when it comes to that day. And I hope we don't have to even discuss this again. I really don't. I hope we could just stay locked in. And I understand the other stuff. Like Malik Willis, I can understand. I can understand the argument there. But this, I just don't get.
You know what, Tyler? You know who we're missing in this chat that would have probably spiced? He would have made it hilarious. Just hearing his take on this is your boy Mike K.
Mike K, yeah. What would Mike – He would have – like
I don't know.
No.
I have a feeling. Okay. No. I have a feeling that he would have –
Mike would just – if we're against Trayvon Walker, Mike's going to bring the other perspective. Because that's just how Mike is. Mike is going to bring the other perspective.
Yo, was it the last episode that he said Drake London that too? Me and Pierre was like, hold the goddamn phone.
I wasn't here, and thankfully it was good that I wasn't there.
Oh. Nah, man, nah. But unfortunately he's not here, man. We miss him, man.
Yeah. Oh. Thank you guys so much. You guys, absolute killer crowd, man. This is, I think, 3-4 weeks in a row now where you guys have had some really good crowds coming in on these Twitter spaces. And this is going to be a permanent day now. We're officially switching to Wednesday nights. This is going to be permanent now. Friday nights are in the past. Wednesday nights are the new thing now. So if you guys are interested, it's usually around this time, 10 p.m. Eastern time. We'll be going live, just talking some Lions. And obviously, we got a couple weeks before the draft, so we have some more stuff to talk about before we get into the NFL draft. So thank you guys so much for joining, and I'm out, guys. Peace.
All right, guys, I'm out. Peace.
All right, y'all. It's your boy Malcolm, and like Tyler said, man, this is going to be our permanent date until Hard Knocks start. Once Hard Knocks start, we're going to be recording immediately after the show, and we'll get everybody's thoughts on the episode, and we're just going to talk about the episode immediately right after the episode. So that's going to be fun, very fun, and I'm looking forward to that. But yeah, until then, Wednesday night it is. So with that being said, I'm out. Peace.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.